This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It is time for Tech Talk on a warm Saturday, the last Saturday of July already, and it certainly feels like it in these parts. If you have a computer problem, hardware, software, whatever, feel free to reach out to Doug Swinhart. Doug's joining us for the entire hour, and the number is 651-461-9226. Once again, calls and texts, 651-461-9226. And that is the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. And big key, get in early, because we always run out of time at the end of the program and we haven't all the messages, etc. So by all means, if you have something for Doug, we'd like you to get in early. Doug, I hope you're doing well and hopefully staying cool today.
Oh, I'm doing really good, Steve, but I if it's okay, I happen to be listening to you and talking about Governor Wall. I'd like to quickly mention that this man actually got right to repair passed in Minnesota, the third state in the United States to achieve that. That's huge. Absolutely. Now, it didn't go far enough, but it went farther than the rest of them, and it's a great step forward. I think that has a lot to do with the attraction of the young people, because he comes across, and he's dedicated to consumer protection. I like the man.
Yeah, so we'll see how it all plays out. One of the things I wanted to do at the beginning of the show is follow up on the Microsoft Windows CrowdStrike outage that caused so many problems. Delta Airlines was probably impacted more than any business I am aware of. That had a ripple effect on their business. Other airlines weren't impacted apparently at all, but Delta was one. There were other businesses that were very much impacted. But now Microsoft is calling for changes to Windows. And we talk about it a lot because it is the dominant operating system. But this just illustrates a point that maybe the world has put too many eggs in this basket.
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, I don't understand why Delta's entire infrastructure is Microsoft. It doesn't make sense. I hope people realize that this affected only Microsoft. No Linux, no Mac, no Unix, no FreeBSD, no other operating system on the planet. And worldwide, Microsoft is not the dominant operating system. In the United States, yes. North America, I think probably. But the U.S., for sure. But at the same time, they can call for changes. Should have been made 10, 15, 20 years ago. They're capable. They just got to get on it.
Now I saw something, and maybe people read this story, that Microsoft is calling for changes to Windows and has dropped some subtle hints that it's prioritizing making Windows more resilient and is willing to prevent security vendors like CrowdStrike from accessing the Windows kernel. Now, you have to help explain that, what that means, but I would assume resiliency, redundancy, etc. But what does that statement mean, accessing the Windows kernel?
Well, I understand what a kernel is. That's kind of like the core of the communications throughout all the services.
Yeah.
Or in the Linux and Unix world, daemons. But at the same time, I don't understand the term resiliency. Now, remember now, CrowdStrike is a subsidiary of Cisco. These people are sharp. And they were creating a security package to protect that Windows kernel. And I really think it probably comes down more to, and I can't prove this, I think Microsoft is making some changes, getting ready for Windows 11, and didn't notify all their third-party vendors. Just an opinion. I know for sure that CrowdStrike, they don't supply any security services at all to Mac or Apple or Linux or Unix. So here again, we got to turn around to Microsoft and say, you know, after 40 years, get it together. We know you guys can do it. Just do it.
It is 3:11. Tech Talk is underway, and we want to get to our StylesFinancial.com talk and text line as quickly. But keep an eye on this, because this outage in the businesses, and once again, Delta Airlines is the dominant airline here at MSP. A lot of people have been impacted by it, and they're still kind of reeling from that outage. And it's a story we'll continue to follow on Tech Talk. All right, from our text line, is there a classic shell for Windows 11? That term I haven't heard in a while, but it's pretty interesting. Classic shell goes back a number of years.
Yes, there is. In fact, you can still get classic shell. It's just called Open Shell, and there's several others that have popped up for 11 as well. The main one that I can't recall the name of is actually built into Windows X, which is a light version of Windows that you can download off the net. And it's just Windows X, L-I-T-E, in a search engine, and you'll find it, no doubt about it. And that's got a built-in shell as well that's really kind of nice to work with. So, yeah, that's going to be continuing as well. It takes advantage of a lot of the glitz and the glamour that's built into 11. The fact that you can change your taskbar and have everything in the center and make the rest of it transparent, I think, is a gorgeous ad. Absolutely lovely. Yeah, one thing you got to say about Microsoft Windows, they do know how to create eye candy, no doubt about it. They make their applications and their desktop look really good. But as far as user-friendly, intuitive, actual layouts, I think the shells probably do a better job today. So yeah, they're there, and you should also get to know the base Windows GUI as well. That graphical user interface is important, and if something happens to the shell, you may need to be able to be comfortable so you can navigate it. But that's my opinion. I hope that helps.
And for people that aren't familiar, shell is something that allows you to make the screen look familiar, like previous operating systems. Basically, is you're not locked into the display that, you know, is boilerplate or comes out of the box with a new operating system.
Yeah, and Microsoft doesn't mind that. They you know, they want you using their operating system. If you wanna tweak and optimize and customize and personalize your graphical user interface, they're all for it. They just want you to use their OS. That's the big thing.
All right, Doug, another one from our text line we want to get to. I saw an ad that shows how to install and run Linux for $400. That seems expensive.
Well, in my mind, it's absolutely a gouge. There's no need for that, unless they're going to give you 6 months of support with it. And even that, it's just a little bit high. And there's enough information out there to where the big thing I think that confuses people with Linux is when they first take a look at it, they go, oh my God, there's hundreds of distributions, which is basically a different operating system, a different graphical user interface, different shell, and how it's compiled and created. And I say just keep it simple. Go to Linux Mint and take a look at that. And if you decide to go with Linux Mint, I would suggest the first download that you do is XFCE. X as in Xavier, F as in Frank, C as in Cat, and E as in Everett. It's just such a nice interface. Now, they got a couple others. They got Cinnamon, which is their big one, and that's got lots and lots of eye candy. That's an advanced version of the desktop for Linux. I prefer XFCE because it's low resource. They'll read that, oh, that's for older computers. I don't know if I agree with that. I think XFCE runs wonderful on a new machine as well. I would say your starting point really should be Linux Mint, and that's going to take out the distribution confusion. And do some reading on the forums, go to YouTube, and just watch several YouTubes and get a machine and put it together. And create a live USB or a live DVD and boot it up and run, take it for a test drive. That's my advice.
Yeah, and one of the things, Doug, about it is designed to be a do-it-yourself thing. That you shouldn't need to pay someone big bucks to help you out. Install this operating system, and indeed, you can buy new out-of-the-box computers with Linux.
Yes, you can. And the thing about this is keep in mind, this is open source. And a lot of people, I don't think, really understand the concept. They, it's free. Well, that's just part of it. It's free if you can't afford it, but really it's the honor system. But open source means that you can go in there and you can change it and tweak it and do whatever you want with it. It's your baby, as long as you don't violate open source rules, and there isn't many. If you're doing it for commercial users to where you're going to create your own distribution of Linux and you're going to build it on Debian and Ubuntu and then you're going to sell it, that's going to require, if you're doing it right, some semblance of a payment back up to Debian and Ubuntu. Or at least, at the very least, acknowledge that they did 80% of the work or 70% or 90% or whatever. That's really crucial, that credit goes to where it's due. But open source isn't really, it is free, but it doesn't really mean like a free beer. It means more like you are free to use it as you wish. And all open source software is that way. And I hope that helps. Investigate open source. You'll be glad you did.
Quick break. It is 3:17. Tech Talk is underway. And if you want to visit with Doug, by all means, computers, hardware, software, whatever, the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line is open at 651-461-9226. We'll have an update on the weather at about 10 minutes at 3:30. Coming up at 4, all the news. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. Doe Young Park covers the Twins for MLB.com. And then at 4:30 today, our lineup card, the Twins and the Tigers in Game 2 of the 3-game set. From Detroit. It's all on the way here on a warm Saturday. News Talk 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk with Doug. Twins a little earlier there in Detroit. Our lineup card at 4:30. First pitch after 5. Joe Ryan on the mound. Twins had a big 9-3 win. Byron Buxton had a big night. More on that a little bit later on. Right now, 90 degrees. South winds at 20. Gust to 29. Our dew point 68. Our heat index sits at 94. So it is a warm one. Once again, Tech Talk with Doug rolls along. Doug, here's one. We've talked about Proton a great deal and Proton VPN as of late. When trying to watch Peacock TV, a streaming service, I get a message that it doesn't support foreign countries. What am I missing there?
Oh, when you select, when you first set up and configure Proton VPN, you should make sure that you select in the United States. Now, there's also one that's called Secure Plus, and I don't think you need that. I think just the lightweight one is the way to go with these. And even though you're in the U.S., you still might get this. But here's the thing. Go back in and pick a different jump point for where is you're being distributed out of. I would suggest that you stick with Chicago, Los Angeles, or New York. Those three are pretty safe. Now, keep in mind that Peacock is owned by Xfinity, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's a Comcast family of companies like NBC, etc. Yeah,
exactly. And Xfinity doesn't want to see any VPNs. They want to be tracking every network packet that comes and goes out of your computer. And I think that's a little bit overboard. And with a VPN, they still know how much data is being transferred in and out, so they can keep track of that, but they don't know what data. So it puts kind of a crimp in their style as well. And they do sell information, believe me. So that's probably going to be one of the more difficult sites. Now, also with Proton, It's been suggested by many users that they allow one particular website by web address or whatever to just be bypassed. And I don't totally agree with that, but that's better than shutting off your VPN completely. Yeah, just play with it a little bit. You'll get it. I'm sure of it. And I hope that helps, Steve.
Yeah, and Doug, streaming television isn't necessarily to use a VPN to just stream television. It seems like overkill to me, but...
Well, until we get to a point as consumers to where if something comes in watching a TV show,
sure,
that should be the responsibility of Xfinity, in my opinion. That's going to solve all kinds of problems. And really, you shouldn't even need security watching TV. Here again, that signal is going through all the controls that Xfinity has. They could monitor all that long before it got to your TV. And I agree with that. Watching TV, that VPN isn't near as important. But at the same time, you don't want them building profiles out of what you're watching for entertainment. So I think the more we hinder that, the better we are. So we got to get rid of this background traffic any way we can.
Yeah.
But I've got mine set up as a whole house, and I get into everything. It took a while to get there, but you can do it, and it's well worth it.
Another one from our StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. Can I clear my computer off completely and then start from scratch and re-add what I went back on? And that's kind of like starting over. Save your data, obviously, photos, documents, etc. That's important. But I don't know why not, why you couldn't start over, if you will.
Oh, I encourage it. I think that if you've got a version of Windows and you've upgraded once or twice or three times, you would be amazed at how that same machine will run by wiping everything clean and starting with a fresh install of no bloat Windows. Start there, but keep in mind, you're going to have to reinstall each and every one of your applications or programs. Have a list. And don't do that list alphabetical. Do that list. The top priority is what you use the most. And just work through it. It could actually take you a while to get through it, but once you're done, two things are going to happen. First of all, your machine's going to be a screamer. Second of all, you are going to raise the level of your confidence to a point of just absolute ridiculous. I couldn't encourage people to do more that. Just jump on it. Now, and also, keep in mind, SSD drives today, if you go and you buy a 2.5-inch, because that's the age of your computer, they're dirt cheap. I just bought 512s for $30. And so you don't need to wipe your drive. Just pull it out and set it aside. Put the SSD drive in and let the good times roll. That way, if something happens, you can just slip that old drive back in and go back to work. I would not recommend that you do this on your daily user computer, not your production machine. This should be a secondary machine, at least for your first, second, and third attempts. Get to know what you're doing. Then it gets much, much easier.
Yeah, you've talked about that when buying a new machine off the shelf, wherever you buy computers, doesn't really matter. And cleaning it up from the get-go before you even install or put your data on that machine that you've backed up somewhere else to the cloud or to an external hard drive, etc. And that is something typically you would walk people through because new machines come with a lot of stuff that you may not need. That's brand new out of the box.
Yeah, they sure can. And I refer to that as bloatware. Yeah, these manufacturers are working on real tight margins. And what they'll do is they'll go out and they'll partner with sometimes 3, 4, 5, 7, 8 security companies, different antivirus things that are going there, and they'll set them up in such a way to where the one that pays them the most profit, honest to God, will be the first one that comes up initially. And if you don't have your own antivirus, they're just going to fire it up and go. Now, if you get rid of that one, the second one's going to jump up. I agree. I will also say this. Many of the OEMs, the people who are building computers and installing them, getting them ready for as new computers, many of these people have taken quite a beating about bloatware. And a lot of them have cut down on it. They're probably always going to have some type of antivirus and anti-malware programs on a Windows machine, mainly because Windows is so vulnerable. But other than that, you just pick and choose. I personally think Windows Defender's been doing a fairly well job. It's been catching almost everything. And Windows Defender is really the only security system that you should have on Windows if you decide to buy an additional commercial security. Windows Defender will just lay in the background and just kind of keep an eye on things. And if something goes wrong with your first initial antivirus malware, Windows Defender will jump up and take its place immediately, which is a nice feature in Defender, I think. But it shouldn't be as necessary to have these things in the first place. That brings us back to the CrowdStrike thing. So I'm really torn with this. I really am.
Quick break. We'll come back. More Tech Talk following the weather. Once again, Twins in 1 hour with the lineup card. Twins and Tigers from Detroit. Once again, Tech Talk with Doug continues in a moment. If you want to visit with Doug about your computer, hardware, software, whatever, the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, great way to go, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And we'll do that in a moment here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk. And Doug Swinhart is joining us each and every Saturday between 3 and 4, as sports schedules permitting. Twins and Tigers coming up later today. Our lineup card at 4:30. First pitch at 5:10, Joe Ryan on the mound. Twins got a good win. They beat the Tigers 9-4. Byron Buxton had a big night. We'll have more on that a little bit later on. And if you want to reach a program, the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, great way to go, 651-461-9226. Doug, we talked about maybe starting over with a machine, and that is back up your data for sure. Make sure you have everything you need, photos, documents, etc., in a safe place. An external hard drive is great for that. And then if you want to start over. But is there a program you should use if you're going to start over? What would you recommend? And, of course, this kind of leads us into Prevazor. Maybe without going to that step of wiping it clean and starting it over, maybe you could use Prevazor and clean up your machine and it might run a lot better.
Oh, exactly. And, in fact, before you go to the length of reformatting your hard drive and reinstalling all your programs, I would highly suggest and recommend that you go to PRIVAZER.com, download the program, install it, and again, it's open source. You can donate what you wish, but run that. You probably won't bother doing the rest of it if you are busy, and it's especially if it's a production machine. We can't stress that enough, Steve. Prevazor, I think, should be on every Windows system. Every one of them. It's that good. And it just does a great job cleaning out temp files, reorganizing your data, cleaning out shell bags. It's the only program I know of that'll do that automatic. And it doesn't miss. I have yet to have a problem with Prevazor on any computer. It's well worth your time. Just go get it.
Yeah, and that's probably the good step. Beyond that, if you feel like you want to start over, is there a specific program that would help you do that?
Oh, they're all over the place. I would suggest, again, YouTube, start there. Even if you're not sure what distribution you want to install. And the motivation to this really should be, I want to learn more about other operating systems. And not so much make my system run better, but that should be the first thing. So you're probably going to require a second machine that you can play around with at will, and if things don't go well, just push it aside until you're feeling more like trying it out again, and then pick out two or three distributions and go from there. I think that it's more a case of I want to expand my knowledge, and it really is not that difficult. Remember, I've said this for years, if you can read, you can do almost anything. Anything on a computer, if you're willing to take a little time and just educate yourself. That's my opinion.
Tech Talk with Doug continues each and every Saturday between 3 and 4 o'clock. Sports schedules permitting, of course. Here we are at the very end of July. Here's a good one. I keep my laptop plugged in all the time. Is it necessary to do a battery drain to condition the battery? Or does it matter? Can I just leave it plugged in all the time?
Yeah, I would say at least once a month. Unplug that baby and run it until it dies, at least. Charge it up and do it again if you've got it plugged in all the time. Now, also, some of the older laptops and netbooks that have the external batteries, you can take them right out. That's probably going to save your computer some. Now, some of them are built, you know, they've got this little switch right underneath on top of the keyboard that determines if it's coming in through AC or DC. And that switch will flutter if your battery is completely full and you got it plugged in all the time on some models. And it's kind of tricky to figure out what you got and how to go about it. But, yes, take care of those lithium batteries. And that's a rule with lithium batteries, not just computers. You need to actually run them babies down at least once a month. Then recharge them and do it again. Do it a second time. If, at the very least, if you're at home for the weekend and you're not using your machine, go to YouTube and pop up some kind of high graphics movie and let it run until this thing kills itself. You won't hurt a thing. You really won't. That's a great way to fire it up and to take care of that. You will add years of life to your battery by doing this. No question in my mind.
Yeah, and as far as a desktop goes, obviously it goes without saying it. Leave, you know, it that isn't going to matter. You're not dealing with a battery. It's not a portable device. But I will say this, and it does get into about powering these machines up and down. And that is a good reminder. It's not a bad thing to leave it on if you use it a lot during the week or use it a lot during the weekend. But you're on your desktop, and then you get to the new work week, shut it down.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm really
running
glad you
that running
up.
The computers 24/7, that doesn't make sense either.
No, not really. They'll go, you know, when everything just without any kind of settings whatsoever other than shutting off your screen after a specific time, when there's nothing going on in these computers, they kind of idle down, the RAM drains itself, and you're using just a fraction of electricity. You're really not using much at all. A couple little fans that are running probably cost 30 cents a month. It's really not that big a deal. But these things really do, and I'm not just talking restarting. I'm talking shutting down all the way. Leave it off for 5-10 minutes, then fire it back up again. It does make a difference. And if you happen to have a power supply going bad, by the way, if it's a weak power supply, which many of them have, and you go to power it up, it doesn't go on, that's a power supply. That was going to go real soon anyway. Better it go while you're starting it up than have it fail while you're in the middle of processing something important. And so, yeah, this is a good idea. Desktops should be shut down minimum once a month, absolute minimum. And if you want to really take care of your equipment, while you got it down, take the cover off and vacuum it out. Keep it nice and clean. Keep that air moving. It will add years and years and years to your computer. And that was great advice, Steve. I couldn't commend you better for that one.
Yeah, and here's another one we brought up, and it hasn't been brought up in a while. Smartphones, whether it's an iPhone or an Android phone, at least once a week, pick a night where you plug it into the charger and shut it all the way down and charge it overnight, shut it down, and restart it. I think it is imperative, especially for these portable devices, tablets, smartphones, to do that once a week. And that's just kind of what I do. I don't know if there's a specific manufacturer's recommendation, but I think you and I are on the same page on this. Once a week, it's a good idea to shut them all the way down and do it overnight some night, a Saturday night or a Sunday night, whatever.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more again. Now, my iPhone 15, I was doing it once a month. I went to once a week. In fact, some weeks I'll do it twice in a week. I'm not certain whether it's the operating system for the phone or what, but that baby needs to be shut down at least once every 5 or 6 days, at least. It just makes everything reconnect, verify connections, and you're good to go. You'll save yourself a ton of problems.
Yeah, for sure. And then, of course, updates typically, and I've had an iPhone for years, requires that you're on Wi-Fi ideally, and it is plugged in, And typically I'll take those updates overnight. And then many times you need to restart the phone anyway. So, you know, there is that opportunity. But it is a good idea to power those things all the way down. And even if you don't do it overnight, power it all the way down for a half an hour or an hour, and then bring it back up. I think that is a good practice. And I've had very good luck with iPhones over the years. Mm-hmm. I don't go through one a year. I kind of, you know, get to the point where they last a few years, and then it's like, yeah, it's time. It's starting to get a little beat up. But I have had very good luck with smartphones over the years, knock on wood.
Yeah, the iPhone especially. Keeping your operating system up to date is crucial. And check it. I've got mine set on automatic, and it didn't take them. And that again, I didn't have it on the charger, and when I did have it on my charger, it must have had too much traffic at Apple, and of course my device went to sleep. So check it manually to make absolutely certain. This is crucial with all smartphones. Keep them babies up to date. And I'm glad you brought up shutting them down too, Steve. Even if you have to shut it down for just a couple of minutes and fire it back up, it does wonders for these things. It just does wonders for them. They have to retrain everything, and it doesn't take too long. Well worth the time that it takes, but it's a good effort. It's good maintenance and should be a part of your automatic regular maintenance. Good advice, Steve. Good advice.
Quick break. We have more Tech Talk. Still time if you want to visit with Doug on this warm Saturday in late July. Here is the number, the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Twins and Tigers coming up. Our lineup card, 43 minutes away at 4:30 today. First pitch at 5:10, Joe Ryan on the mound. Twins are playing well. They beat the Tigers 9-3 on Friday night in Motown. So stick around for that. Here on News Talk, E3O WCCO. And it's Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart joining us here on News Talk, E3O WCCO. And, of course, Tech Talk on the air each and every Saturday between 3 and 4, sports schedules permitting. Doug, I want to get back to something very important we brought up. Four Windows machines. I think it's great on maybe a hot day and you're taking a breather inside. Download Prevazor and run it. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. How do people go about doing it? Is it complicated? Do you need to have a ton of computer knowledge to run Prevazor?
Oh, absolutely not. It's Prevazer.com. Very simple. If you get either version while you're installing it, it just runs you through a series of questions. Just take the defaults if you don't know. It will be just fine. And learn to tweak it later, week down the road, 2 weeks, whatever, reinstall it again. Now, if you like the program as much as I do, you've had it a month, two, three, and you realize that your computer's running much faster, much more stable, you got much more confidence in your whole system, for goodness sake, send them $20, $30, $40, whatever you feel it's worth. Don't get carried away. Don't break the bank. But it's kind of like the honor system, and it is necessary to keep the projects moving forward. I really like Prevazor, but Prevazor is easy to use. It's also got a one-button deal, and as you're going through the settings for that, you're going to be learning things about your computer, things that you should know and will be very helpful in the future. Again, it's Prevazer.com, and get it today. If you haven't gotten it already, get it today.
All right, that is very good advice. Doug, before I let you go, your phone number and email, how do people reach you during the week?
Oh, thank you. 651-552-9543 and admin@WCCOTech.com. admin at WCCOTech.com. 651-552-9543. And thank you so much, Steve, and stay cool.
Yeah, and have a great week, Doug. We'll do it again next week.
Perfect.
All right, there he is, Doug Swinhart. That is Tech Talk each and every Saturday between 3 and 4 o'clock, sports schedules permitting.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
It is time for Tech Talk on a warm Saturday, the last Saturday of July already, and it certainly feels like it in these parts. If you have a computer problem, hardware, software, whatever, feel free to reach out to Doug Swinhart. Doug's joining us for the entire hour, and the number is 651-461-9226. Once again, calls and texts, 651-461-9226. That is the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. And big key, get in early, because we always run out of time at the end of the program and we haven't all the messages, etc. So by all means, if you have something for Doug, we'd like you to get in early. Doug, I hope you're doing well and hopefully staying cool today.
Oh, I'm doing really good, Steve, but I if it's okay, I happen to be listening to you and talking about Governor Wall. I'd like to quickly mention that this man actually got right to repair passed in Minnesota, the third state in the United States to achieve that. That's huge. Absolutely. Now, it didn't go far enough, but it went farther than the rest of them, and it's a great step forward. And I think that has a lot to do with the attraction of the young people, because he comes across, and he's dedicated to consumer protection. I like the man.
Yeah, so we'll see how it all plays out. One of the things I wanted to do at the beginning of the show is follow up on the Microsoft Windows CrowdStrike outage that caused so many problems. Delta Airlines was probably impacted more than any business I am aware of. That had a ripple effect on their business. Other airlines weren't impacted apparently at all, but Delta was one. There were other businesses that were very much impacted. But now Microsoft is calling for changes to Windows. And we talk about it a lot because it is the dominant operating system. But this just illustrates a point that maybe the world has put too many eggs in this basket.
Oh, no doubt. And, you know, I don't understand why Delta's entire infrastructure is Microsoft. It doesn't make sense. I hope people realize that this affected only Microsoft. No Linux, no Mac, no Unix, no FreeBSD, no other operating system on the planet. And worldwide, Microsoft is not the dominant operating system. In the United States, yes. North America, I think probably. But the U.S. for sure. But at the same time, they can call for changes. Should have been made 10, 15, 20 years ago. They're capable. They just got to get on it.
Now I saw something, and maybe people read this story, that Microsoft is calling for changes to Windows and has dropped some subtle hints that it's prioritizing making Windows more resilient and is willing to prevent security vendors like CrowdStrike from accessing the Windows kernel. Now, you have to help explain that, what that means, but I would assume resiliency, redundancy, etc. But what does that statement mean, accessing the Windows kernel?
Well, I understand what a kernel is. That's kind of like the core of the communications throughout all the services.
Yeah.
Or in the Linux and Unix world, daemons. But at the same time, I don't understand the term resiliency. Now, remember now, CrowdStrike is a subsidiary of Cisco. These people are sharp. And they were creating a security package to protect that Windows kernel. And I really think it probably comes down more to, and I can't prove this, I think Microsoft is making some changes, getting ready for Windows 11, and didn't notify all their third-party vendors. Just an opinion. I know for sure that CrowdStrike, they don't supply any security services at all to Mac or Apple or Linux or Unix. So here again, we got to turn around to Microsoft and say, you know, after 40 years, get it together. We know you guys can do it. Just do it.
It is 3:11. Tech Talk is underway, and we want to get to our StylesFinancial.com talk and text line as quickly. But keep an eye on this because this outage in the businesses, and once again, Delta Airlines is the dominant airline here at MSP. A lot of people have been impacted by it, and they're still kind of reeling from that outage. And it's a story we'll continue to follow on Tech Talk. Mm-hmm. All right, from our text line, is there a classic shell for Windows 11? That term I haven't heard in a while, but it's pretty interesting. Classic shell goes back a number of years.
Yes, there is. In fact, you can still get classic shell. It's just called Open Shell, and there's several others that have popped up for 11 as well. The main one that I can't recall the name of is actually built into Windows X, which is a light version of Windows that you can download off the net. And it's just Windows X, L-I-T-E, in a search engine, and you'll find it, no doubt about it. And that's got a built-in shell as well that's really kind of nice to work with. So, yeah, that's going to be continuing as well. It takes advantage of a lot of the glitz and the glamour that's built into 11. The fact that you can change your taskbar and have everything in the center and make the rest of it transparent, I think, is a gorgeous add. Absolutely lovely. Yeah, one thing you got to say about Microsoft Windows, they do know how to create eye candy, no doubt about it. They make their applications and their desktop look really good. But as far as user-friendly, intuitive, actual layouts, I think the shells probably do a better job today. So yeah, they're there, and you should also get to know the base Windows GUI as well. That graphical user interface is important, and if something happens to the shell, you may need to be able to be comfortable so you can navigate it. But that's my opinion. I hope that helps.
And for people that aren't familiar, shell is something that allows you to make the screen look familiar, like previous operating systems. Basically, is you're not locked into the display that, you know, is boilerplate or comes out of the box with a new operating system.
Yeah, and Microsoft doesn't mind that. They want you using their operating system. If you wanna tweak and optimize and customize and personalize your graphical user interface, they're all for it. They just want you to use their OS. That's the big thing.
All right, Doug, another one from our text line we want to get to. I saw an ad that shows how to install and run Linux for $400. That seems expensive.
Well, in my mind, it's absolutely a gouge. There's no need for that unless they're going to give you 6 months of support with it. And even that, it's just a little bit high. And there's enough information out there to where the big thing I think that confuses people with Linux is when they first take a look at it, they go, oh my God, there's hundreds of distributions, which is basically a different operating system, a different graphical user interface, different shell, and how it's compiled and created. And I say just keep it simple. Go to Linux Mint and take a look at that. And if you decide to go with Linux Mint, I would suggest the first download that you do is XFCE. X as in Xavier, F as in Frank, C as in Cat, and E as in Everett. It's just such a nice interface. Now, they got a couple others. They got Cinnamon, which is their big one. And that's got lots and lots of eye candy. That's an advanced version of the desktop for Linux. I prefer XFCE because it's low resource. They'll read that, oh, that's for older computers. I don't know if I agree with that. I think XFCE runs wonderful on a new machine as well. I would say your starting point really should be Linux Mint, and that's going to take out the distribution confusion and do some reading on the forums. Go to YouTube and just watch several YouTubes and get a machine and put it together. and create a live USB or a live DVD and boot it up and run, take it for a test drive. That's my advice.
Yeah, and one of the things, Doug, about it is designed to be a do-it-yourself thing, that you shouldn't need to pay someone big bucks to help you out and install this operating system. And indeed, you can buy new out-of-the-box computers with Linux.
Yes, you can. And the thing about this is keep in mind, this is open source. And a lot of people, I don't think, really understand the concept. It's free. Well, that's just part of it. It's free if you can't afford it, but really it's the honor system. But open source means that you can go in there and you can change it and tweak it and do whatever you want with it. It's your baby, as long as you don't violate open source rules, and there isn't many. If you're doing it for commercial users to where you're going to create your own distribution of Linux and you're going to build it on Debian and Ubuntu and then you're going to sell it, that's going to require, if you're doing it right, some semblance of a payment back up to Debian and Ubuntu, or at least, at the very least, acknowledge that they did 80% of the work or 70% or 90% or whatever. That's really crucial, that credit goes to where it's due. But open source isn't really, it is free, but it doesn't really mean like a free beer. It means more like you are free to use it as you wish. And all open source software is that way. And I hope that helps. Investigate open source. You'll be glad you did.
Quick break. It is 3:17. Tech Talk is underway. And if you want to visit with Doug, by all means, computers, hardware, software, whatever, the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line is open at 651-461-9226. We'll have an update on the weather at about 10 minutes at 3:30. Coming up at 4, all the news. We'll go outdoors with Steve Carney. Doe Young Park covers the Twins for MLB.com. And then at 4:30 today, our lineup card, the Twins and the Tigers in Game 2 of the 3-game set from Detroit. It's all on the way here on a warm Saturday. News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk with Doug. Twins a little earlier there in Detroit. Our lineup card at 4:30. First pitch after 5. Joe Ryan on the mound. Twins had a big 9-3 win. Byron Buxton had a big night. More on that a little bit later on. Right now, 90 degrees. South winds at 20. Gusts to 29. Our dew point, 68. Our heat index sits at 94. So it is a warm one. Once again, Tech Talk with Doug rolls along. Doug, here's one. We've talked about Proton a great deal and Proton VPN as of late. When trying to watch Peacock TV, a streaming service, I get a message that it doesn't support foreign countries. What am I missing there?
Oh, when you select, when you first set up and configure Proton VPN, you should make sure that you select in the United States. Now, there's also one that's called Secure Plus, and I don't think you need that. I think just the lightweight one is the way to go with these. And even though you're in the U.S., you still might get this. But here's the thing. Go back in and pick a different jump point for where is you're being distributed out of. I would suggest that you stick with Chicago, Los Angeles, or New York. Those three are pretty safe. Now, keep in mind that Peacock is owned by Xfinity, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's a Comcast family of companies like NBC, etc. Yeah,
exactly. And Xfinity doesn't want to see any VPNs. They want to be tracking every network packet that comes and goes out of your computer. And I think that's a little bit overboard. And with a VPN, they still know how much data is being transferred in and out, so they can keep track of that, but they don't know what data. So it puts kind of a crimp in their style as well. And they do sell information, believe me. So that's probably going to be one of the more difficult sites. Now, also with Proton, it's been suggested by many users that they allow one particular website by web address or whatever to just be bypassed. And I don't totally agree with that, but that's better than shutting off your VPN completely. Yeah, just play with it a little bit. You'll get it. I'm sure of it. And I hope that helps, Steve.
Yeah, and Doug, streaming television isn't necessarily to use a VPN to just stream television. It seems like overkill to me, but...
Well, until we get to a point as consumers to where if something comes in watching a TV show,
sure,
that should be the responsibility of Xfinity, in my opinion. That's going to solve all kinds of problems. And really, you shouldn't even need security watching TV. Here again, that signal is going through all the controls that Xfinity has. They could monitor all that long before it got to your TV. And I agree with that. Watching TV, that VPN isn't near as important. But at the same time, you don't want them building profiles out of what you're watching for entertainment. So I think the more we hinder that, the better we are. So we got to get rid of this background traffic any way we can.
Yeah.
But I've got mine set up as a whole house, and I get into everything. It took a while to get there, but you can do it, and it's well worth it.
Another one from our StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. Can I clear my computer off completely and then start from scratch and re-add what I went back on? And that's kind of like starting over. Save your data, obviously, photos, documents, etc. That's important. But I don't know why not, why you couldn't start over, if you will.
Oh, I encourage it. I think that if you've got a version of Windows and you've upgraded once or twice or three times, you would be amazed at how that same machine will run by wiping everything clean and starting with a fresh install of no bloat Windows. Start there, but keep in mind, you're going to have to reinstall each and every one of your applications or programs. Have a list. And don't do that list alphabetical. Do that list. The top priority is what you use the most. And just work through it. It could actually take you a while to get through it, but once you're done, two things are going to happen. First of all, your machine's going to be a screamer. Second of all, you are going to raise the level of your confidence to a point of just absolute ridiculous. I couldn't encourage people to do more that. Just jump on it. Now, and also, keep in mind, SSD drives today, if you go and you buy a 2.5-inch because that's the age of your computer, they're dirt cheap. I just bought 512s for $30. And so you don't need to wipe your drive. Just pull it out and set it aside. Put the SSD drive in and let the good times roll. That way, if something happens, you can just slip that old drive back in and go back to work. I would not recommend that you do this on your daily user computer, not your production machine. This should be a secondary machine, at least for your first, second, and third attempts. Get to know what you're doing. Then it gets much, much easier.
Yeah, you've talked about that when buying a new machine off the shelf, wherever you buy computers, doesn't really matter. And cleaning it up from the get-go before you even install or put your data on that machine that you've backed up somewhere else to the cloud or to an external hard drive, etc. And that is something typically you would walk people through because new machines come with a lot of stuff that you may not need. That's brand new out of the box.
Yeah, they sure can. And I refer to that as bloatware. Yeah, these manufacturers are working on real tight margins. And what they'll do is they'll go out and they'll partner with sometimes 3, 4, 5, 7, 8 security companies, different antivirus things that are going there, and they'll set them up in such a way to where the one that pays them the most profit, honest to God, will be the first one that comes up initially. And if you don't have your own antivirus, they're just going to fire it up and go. Now, if you get rid of that one, the second one's going to jump up. I agree. I will also say this. Many of the OEMs, the people who are building computers and installing them, getting them ready for as new computers, many of these people have taken quite a beating about bloatware. And a lot of them have cut down on it. They're probably always going to have some type of antivirus and anti-malware programs on a Windows machine, mainly because Windows is so vulnerable. But other than that, yeah, you just pick and choose. I personally think Windows Defender's been doing a fairly well job. It's been catching almost everything. And Windows Defender is really the only security system that you should have on Windows if you decide to buy an additional commercial security. Windows Defender will just lay in the background and just kind of keep an eye on things. And if something goes wrong with your first initial antivirus malware, Windows Defender will jump up and take its place immediately, which is a nice feature in Defender, I think. But it shouldn't be as necessary to have these things in the first place. That brings us back to the CrowdStrike thing. So I'm really torn with this. I really am.
Quick break. We'll come back. More Tech Talk following the weather. Once again, Twins in 1 hour with the lineup card. Twins and Tigers from Detroit. Once again, Tech Talk with Doug continues in a moment. If you want to visit with Doug about your computer, hardware, software, whatever, the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, great way to go, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And we'll do that in a moment here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk. And Doug Swinhart is joining us each and every Saturday between 3 and 4, as sports schedules permitting. Twins and Tigers coming up later today. Our lineup card at 4:30. First pitch at 5:10, Joe Ryan on the mound. Twins got a good win. They beat the Tigers 9-4. Byron Buxton had a big night. We'll have more on that a little bit later on. And if you want to reach your program, the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, great way to go, 651-461-9226. Doug, we talked about maybe starting over with a machine, and that is back up your data for sure. Make sure you have everything you need, photos, documents, etc., in a safe place. An external hard drive is great for that. And then if you want to start over. But is there a program you should use if you're going to start over? What would you recommend? And, of course, this kind of leads us into Pervasor. Maybe without going to that step of wiping it clean and starting it over, maybe you could use Pervasor and clean up your machine and it might run a lot better.
Oh, exactly. And, in fact, before you go to the length of reformatting your hard drive and reinstalling all your programs, I would highly suggest and recommend that you go to PRIVAZER.com, download the program, install it, and again, it's open source. You can donate what you wish, but run that. You probably won't bother doing the rest of it if you are busy, and it's especially if it's a production machine. We can't stress that enough, Steve. Pervasor, I think, should be on every Windows system. Every one of them. It's that good. And it just does a great job cleaning out temp files, reorganizing your data, cleaning out shell bags. It's the only program I know of that'll do that automatic. And it doesn't miss. I have yet to have a problem with Pervasor on any computer. It's well worth your time. Just go get it.
Yeah, and that's probably the good step. Beyond that, if you feel like you want to start over, is there a specific program that would help you do that?
Oh, they're all over the place. I would suggest, again, YouTube, start there. Even if you're not sure what distribution you want to install. And the motivation to this really should be, I want to learn more about other operating systems. And not so much make my system run better, but that should be the first thing. So you're probably going to require a second machine that you can play around with at will, and if things don't go well, just push it aside until you're feeling more like trying it out again, and then pick out two or three distributions and go from there. I think that it's more a case of I want to expand my knowledge, and it really is not that difficult. Remember, I've said this for years, if you can read, you can do almost anything on a computer, if you're willing to take a little time and just educate yourself. That's my opinion.
Tech Talk with Doug continues each and every Saturday between 3 and 4 o'clock. Sports schedules permitting, of course. Here we are at the very end of July. Here's a good one. I keep my laptop plugged in all the time. Is it necessary to do a battery drain to condition the battery? Or does it matter? Can I just leave it plugged in all the time?
Yeah, I would say at least once a month. Unplug that baby and run it until it dies, at least. Charge it up and do it again if you've got it plugged in all the time. Now, also, some of the older laptops and netbooks that have the external batteries, you can take them right out. That that's probably going to save your computer some. Now, some of them are built, you know, they've got this little switch right underneath the, on top of the keyboard that determines if it's coming in through AC or DC. And that switch will flutter if your battery is completely full and you got it plugged in all the time on some models. And it's kind of tricky to figure out what you got and how to go about it. But yes, take care of those lithium batteries. And that's a rule with lithium batteries, not just computers. You need to actually run them babies down at least once a month. Then recharge them and do it again. Do it a second time. If, at the very least, if you're at home for the weekend and you're not using your machine, go to YouTube and pop up some kind of high graphics movie and let it run until this thing kills itself. You won't hurt a thing. You really won't. That's a great way to fire it up and to take care of that. You will add years of life to your battery by doing this. No question in my mind.
Yeah, and as far as a desktop goes, obviously it goes without saying it. Leave, you know, it that isn't going to matter. You're not dealing with a battery. It's not a portable device. But I will say this, and it does get into about powering these machines up and down. And that is a good reminder. It's not a bad thing to leave it on if you use it a lot during the week or use it a lot during the weekend. But you're on your desktop, and then you get to the new work week, shut it down.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm really
running
glad you
the, that running
up.
The computers 24/7, that doesn't make sense either.
No, not really. They'll go, you know, when everything just without any kind of settings whatsoever other than shutting off your screen after a specific time, when there's nothing going on in these computers, they kind of idle down, the RAM drains itself, and you're using just a fraction of electricity. You're really not using much at all. A couple little fans that are running probably cost 30 cents a month. It's really not that big a deal. But these rings really do, and I'm not just talking restarting, I'm talking shutting down all the way. Leave it off for 5-10 minutes, then fire it back up again. It does make a difference. And if you happen to have a power supply going bad, by the way, if it's a weak power supply, which many of them have, and you go to power it up and doesn't go on, that's a power supply. That was going to go real soon anyway. Better it go while you're starting it up than have it fail while you're in the middle of processing something important. And so, yeah, this is a good idea. Desktops should be shut down minimum once a month, absolute minimum. And if you want to really take care of your equipment, while you got it down, take the cover off and vacuum it out. Keep it nice and clean. Keep that air moving. It will add years and years and years to your computer. And that was great advice, Steve. I couldn't commend you better for that one.
Yeah, and here's another one we've brought up, and it hasn't been brought up in a while. Smartphones, whether it's an iPhone or an Android phone, at least once a week, pick a night where you plug it into the charger and shut it all the way down and charge it overnight, shut it down, and restart it. I think it is imperative, especially for these portable devices, tablets, smartphones, to do that once a week. And that's just kind of what I do. I don't know if there's a specific manufacturer's recommendation, but I think you and I are on the same page on this. Once a week, it's a good idea to shut them all the way down and do it overnight some night, a Saturday night or a Sunday night, whatever.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more again. Now, my iPhone 15, I was doing it once a month. I went to once a week. In fact, some weeks I'll do it twice in a week. I'm not certain whether it's the operating system for the phone or what, but that baby needs to be shut down at least once every 5 or 6 days, at least. It just makes everything reconnect, verify connections, and you're good to go. You'll save yourself a ton of problems.
Yeah, for sure. And then, of course, updates typically, and I've had an iPhone for years, requires that you're on Wi-Fi ideally, and it is plugged in, and typically I'll take those updates overnight. And then many times you need to restart the phone anyway. So, you know, there is that opportunity, but it is a good idea to power those things all the way down. And even if you don't do it overnight, power it all the way down, for a half an hour or an hour, and then bring it back up. I think that is a good practice. And I've had very good luck with iPhones over the years. I don't go through one a year. I kind of, you know, get to the point where they last a few years, and then it's like, yeah, it's time. It's starting to get a little beat up. But I have had very good luck with smartphones over the years, knock on wood.
Yeah, the iPhone especially. Keeping your operating system up to date is crucial. And check it. I've got mine set on automatic, and it didn't take them. And that again, I didn't have it on the charger, and when I did have it on my charger, it must have had too much traffic at Apple, and of course my device went to sleep. So check it manually to make absolutely certain. This is crucial with all smartphones. Keep them babies up to date. And I'm glad you brought up shutting them down too, Steve. Even if you have to shut it down for just a couple of minutes and fire it back up, it does wonders for these things. It just does wonders for them. They have to retrain everything, and it doesn't take too long. Well worth the time that it takes, but it's a good effort. It's good maintenance and should be a part of your automatic regular maintenance. Good advice, Steve. Good advice.
Quick break. We have more Tech Talk. Still time if you want to visit with Doug on this warm Saturday in late July. Here is the number, the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Twins and Tigers coming up, our lineup card, 43 minutes away at 4:30 today. First pitch at 5:10, Joe Ryan on the mound. Twins are playing well. They beat the Tigers 9-3 on Friday night in Motown. So stick around for that. Here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. And it's Tech Talk. Doug Swinhart joining us here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. And, of course, Tech Talk on the air each and every Saturday between 3 and 4, sports schedules permitting. Doug, I want to get back to something very important we brought up. Four Windows machines. I think it's great on maybe a hot day and you're taking a breather inside. Download Prevazor and run it. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. How do people go about doing it? Is it complicated? Do you need to have a ton of computer knowledge to run Prevazor?
Oh, absolutely not. It's Privazer.com. Very simple. If you get either version while you're installing it, it just runs you through a series of questions. Just take the defaults if you don't know. It will be just fine. And learn to tweak it later, week down the road, 2 weeks, whatever, reinstall it again. Now, if you like the program as much as I do, you've had it a month, two, three, and you realize that your computer's running much faster, much more stable, you got much more confidence in your whole system, for goodness sake, send them $20, $30, $40, whatever you feel it's worth. Don't get carried away. Don't break the bank. But it's kind of like the honor system, and it is necessary to keep the projects moving forward. I really like Prevazor, but Prevazor is easy to use. It's also got a one-button deal, and as you're going through the settings for that, you're going to be learning things about your computer, things that you should know and will be very helpful in the future. Again, it's Privazer.com, and get it today. If you haven't gotten it already, get it today.
All right, that is very good advice. Doug, before I let you go, your phone number and email, how do people reach you during the week?
Oh, thank you. 651-552-9543 and admin at WCCOTech.com. admin at WCCOTech.com. 651-552-9543. And thank you so much, Steve, and stay cool.
Yeah, and have a great week, Doug. We'll do it again next week.
Perfect.
All right, there he is, Doug Swinhart. That is Tech Talk each and every Saturday between 3 and 4 o'clock, sports schedules permitting.